There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along for another hour of live local talk. Of course, the phone number and the text line, the same, 251-343-0106. A reminder, too, with that FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even leave us one of those talkback messages. So if you're on the app, and if you've already gone to the App Store if you're an iPhone user, or Google Play if you're an Android user, and downloaded the app, you just search for FM TALK 1065. You see our logo, download the app. When you got it on that front page there where you're looking at all the podcasts and social media feeds and all that, if you'll press the microphone icon, you can just record a message there and it emails it to the station and we can play it back here on the air. So do that and engage in the conversation. This hour, a conversation that I love. And each year, we love to kick off the Mardi Gras season at the same time as the Moon Pie Minute. And with the parade on Dauphin Island starting everything officially tomorrow, it is time for the FM Talk 106.5 kickoff to Mardi Gras. In studio, it's always great to see Laura and Reynolds sometimes, but Laura Ratledge, Reynolds Brabner sometimes, and Stephen McNair to see y'all and Marianne here being quiet, but she's in here as well. Welcome. Happy Mardi Gras, y'all.
Happy Mardi Gras, Sean.
It's so, yeah, and of course we can talk about the fact that it's really kind of started already, but what we consider parade season is fixing to kick off tomorrow.
The public Mardi Gras.
Yes, that's right. Public Mardi Gras tomorrow. And I like the fact that Dauphin Island does it. You know, and I'm looking at Reynolds, who spends a lot of time down there with that rodeo thing they do.
Yeah, a little tiny fish tournament.
Yeah, a little fishing tournament y'all do down there. But it is a, I think it's really cool that it, you know, you would think, well, no, the start off the parade season should be in Mobile. I like the fact that it's at Dauphin Island.
Yeah, I've been down there actually working all week, and I've been seeing them kind of getting ready, you know, getting set up for the parades, and they're excited about it. They're ready to kick off Mardi Gras down there for sure.
Yeah, it's by the way, I did mention to y'all, and I got to pay this off here. I said there's rule changes here. So this is an addendum, a Moon Pie Minute addendum. So I saw the story from WPMI, and they said new parade rules on the island still allow families to claim their spot to watch the parade in the median along the right-of-way. But beginning this year, you can't claim that spot before sunrise tomorrow. So if you plan to go down there at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, like we used to claim duck blinds in the Mobile Tensaw Delta, had said that you cannot do that. You have to wait for sunrise before you claim your spot. So,
and you know, that's a great thing because it shows the people care and it shows that the crowds are coming. And
yes.
So it's kind of like, you know, Endymion used to be in New Orleans where people would tape off their neutral ground spot, you know, a week before. And that's just not, Mardi Gras is a democratic process.
Right. You can't go in and just plant your flag at 3 this morning and expect to take that spot.
That's exactly right. And people need to keep in mind, you know, there's three different parades we're going to see on Dauphin Island this year. You know, we've got Crew de la Dauphine coming up. Then we have the People's Parade, which is kind of like their Jocaine Day of sorts, where if you have a boat that you want to ride mm-hmm. in, maybe that's on a trailer, or if you have a bicycle, or if you want to just juggle down the street, you do those things. And then we have, for the second year, it's a new walking club, and you're going to hear about this in the Moon Pie Minute later on in the season, but it's kind of a mystic Buff Graw type society that parades with torches down the main drag. But it's very very cryptic organization.
Okay, I like that as well. Which, by the way, I wonder, because I'm looking in here, we're all blinking in here with the great beads that that y'all brought here, and we got the devil go to church or the devil will get you. Also, the bead pimp, all these different, and the plushie as well. We're on Facebook Live right now, so yeah, I saw the flash and it reminded me because the cameras are on in here. If you go to FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, you get to see the whole crew in studio here as we kick off this Mardi Gras, the public portion of Mardi Gras season. You know, you mentioned Buff Gras. Okay, so let's talk about this too as we talk about the new things, because I want to get into, because I remember sitting here, you know, and Laura, you and I talk about it really a lot. It was what will happen with Mardi Gras, you know, when we had the shutdowns and what will happen. We knew it would continue, but did we know it would grow? I don't know that I did, and it really sure did, right? I mean, all the new groups out there.
Yes, I think we hoped it would continue to grow.
Sure.
I think deep down we knew it would. I think we just had to get through that little hurdle of the year that we couldn't have it physically where we could have parades. But last year, you know, we came back better than ever. We had big, huge crowds downtown, and, you know, our family came in town like they used to do. So we just picked up right where we left off.
And with that, yes, new groups out there. Although what I love about this Buff Gras thing that happened, it's a new addition, but it's an homage to the oldest tradition of Mardi Gras.
What's old is new again.
Yeah.
And so we are going to see the Buff Gras in Mobile again on Mardi Gras Day, so I'm told.
Right.
Listeners will remember that there was a cryptic French poster or flyer that was sprinkled around during the pandemic saying, you know, come back next year because the Buff Gras shall return. And they did. It was on Mardi Gras Day. It was that morning. They went down Dolphin Street. They had the papier-mâché bull's head. The maskers had the traditional kind of Spanish robes on, and they had music. And I believe that we shall see that again, but the details are spotty.
Okay, well, as they should be.
Right.
Because as I was always corrected by Rennie Brabner when I would say, it's the history of Mardi Gras, and he'd say, tisk, tisk, Sean. There's something to that effect. I'm editing what he said. He would say, it's the story of Mardi Gras. There's a, you know, there's some of the details might be.
And the arguments are always, and I get that a lot, you know, is 1703 accurate?
Yeah.
And, you know, did this organization really start in this year? Did Joe Kane really do what he did? The answer is sure.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me just today, they said, Joe Kane had that many ex-wives? And I was like, no, not exactly. But at the same time, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, it makes a better story.
Right.
For sure. But, okay, and for somebody maybe who's just moved to town or hasn't paid attention to this, you know, we talked about what's old, what's new is old is new again. With Buff Gras, that is, I mean, as the story goes, that was the first Mardi Gras. It was a Buff Gras.
We think.
Yes, we think.
Well, now keep in mind, I mean, the first here in the United States.
Yes.
But at the same time, the Buff Gras dates back to medieval periods.
Right, but the first one we had here was, what? I mean, as the story goes, Stephen, tell me, what did that look like? I mean, I know you weren't there.
Right.
I mean, I'm older than you. But what do we think that looked like?
Yeah, as the story goes, it really mimicked what you see in places in France and Germany and Spain, where you have these celebrations before, you know, before the flesh is no longer consumed, where you would have the fatted calf come through town, and there would be decorations on the bull, and then you kill the bull, you eat it, and then the next day you don't do that again for 40 days.
Right.
And so there's been stories about a real bull. And there's been stories about paper mache. There's even some stories that the Buff Gras stopped existing when the Civil War occurred because they used the paper mache for, you know, creating
cannon fodder or something.
Exactly. Which, yeah. I mean, that's a great story. But, you know.
Is it true? I don't know. But it's a great story. Yeah. But, I mean, we could picture, if we're going to follow this narrative, 27 Mile Bluff.
Correct.
Right? So we're at 27 Mile Bluff up the river, original location. And we could picture that down, I mean, there were only so many houses there. The main street at 27 Mile Bluff wasn't long.
It wasn't. And you sometimes even see that there was a masked ball in 1703. They were trying to survive.
Right, that's right.
This was a mud-filled camp.
Yeah.
You know, this, sure, it was the capital of Louisiana.
Right.
But at the same time,
there was a muddy.
It was rustic.
Perch.
It,
nice.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah.
They
did not have the abilities to have, you know, buffets and right. You know, masked affairs with live music. So, but did they have some type of celebration on the eve of Ash Wednesday? More than likely so, just based on the fact that they were devout Roman Catholics, and right. also the fact that we know that Iberville and Bienville were naming geographic locations after Mardi Gras as early as 1699. Mardi Gras Point in Mississippi
right.
was
know
founded
it.
And named during the Mardi Gras, on Mardi Gras Day, and that's why they used that name. So we know it was on their mind. We know they were practicing Catholics. We know they were aware of it. So what did Mardi Gras look like in 1703? Probably a nice dinner with beef and wine, and that was about it.
Which would have been a really big deal from the hardscrabble existence of every day. That would have been...
It would have been like their Thanksgiving, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, basically starving, just keeping yourself just below starvation every day, and all of a sudden you have this event where you can eat all you want. And
exactly. Exactly. And you know, talking about the buff girl, we still do see, you know, remnants of this. You know, if anybody attends the Rex Parade in New Orleans, one of their permanent floats is the buff girl float with a giant bull on it. And so we still see remnants of this, you know, kind of on the coastal Mardi Gras celebration. But if anybody saw the giant papier-mâché bull's head going down Dolphin Street last year, it was about maybe 9:30 in the morning. It's a sight to see. And I highly encourage people to attend.
It's and it's one of those, you know, the oldest tradition becoming new again. You know, you mentioned this. I don't want to give away, you know, all boom pie minutes to coming forward. But this debate we all love to have, and all of us Mobilians here, like, nobody has to sell us on what side of this we're on. But as the mother of the mystics, right, where it started here, Mardi Gras started here, but maybe parading didn't, like, what the nuance of that, when we want to puff up our chest, right, and talk to people in New Orleans and say, yeah, but guess what? Well, to help me understand exactly what we're proud of.
So the 1703, as we just discussed, really just comes down to the fact that they were aware of the holiday because of where they'd immigrated from, and they were aware of the Christian calendar, and so it would have made sense. But in terms of balls and tableaus and theme parades and flambeaux and all these kind of things, I mean, that didn't come along until about a decade after the Kalbalion de Regan Society was founded. So we're talking about the late 1840s, 1850s. But the question of did that style of American Mardi Gras originate locally, it is definitively yes. Because members of the Kalbalion de Regan and the Strikers are the ones who went to New Orleans to found Comus. And Comus, of course, is the oldest parading society there. And that's a well-documented fact.
Right.
So the concept of who started it is really not up for debate. But
here we go.
The big question is, or the big issue is, all of those things occurred in Mobile on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
We celebrated Carnival on New Year's Eve, and then the ball was New Year's Day. New Orleans, from the origination of Comus, always celebrated on Mardi Gras Day. So we started it, but maybe our time of year was just off.
Yeah, well, we have the earliest date for the calendar, but they have the specific date looking at Fat Tuesday.
That's correct. I mean, the first Mardi Gras Day parades was OOM, and that was in 1868.
Right. And they had, by then, New Orleans had had...
Oh, they've had Comus and Proteus and Momus, and all of the old line crews were established.
So I'm not trying here to encourage those people from New Orleans. I just want to make sure as we get the story, we get the story straight. We're coming back with more of the story of Mardi Gras, the kickoff to the Mardi Gras season, the way we do it around here. It's great to have this crew back in studio. We've got a king cake that we'll be consuming gluttonously here in the next 5 to 10 minutes. So y'all stick around. Check us out on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/FM Talk 1065.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 124 FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. This kickoff to the public Mardi Gras season happening tomorrow on Dolphin Island. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my man Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So if you, let's say you're ready for Mardi Gras, but you got some things you got to do to kind of clear things up at the house, folks. In other words, you made a New Year's resolution to get organized around the house. Maybe you have Trey take some of last year's throws and set them to the side. because you'll want to throw those this year. At the same time, move that junk. And it could be, I talk about, it could be inside your house, but also outside your house. People forget this, that 1-800-GOT-JUNK with routine, they get not only like the contents of a storage shed in the backyard, they can get the whole storage shed. Let's say you have the fantastic redwood swing set, you know, with the pirate lookout thing and all that, and your youngest child is in their 30s, let it go. Get rid of it. You could do that. Big trampoline, whatever, or storage unit you need cleaned out, house you're getting ready to sell. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I love the process, too, because they actually believe in good old-fashioned appointments. Here's how it works. You go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And here's what happens. They find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and they set an appointment. Then they show up, and you just point at the junk you want gone. They'll quote you a price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work right then and get it done then. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, continue our conversation and kick off to the Mardi Gras season. Laura Ratledge, Reynolds Brabner, Steve McNair, and the lovely Marianne Brabner in studio as we talk about this season to come, the 2023 Mardi Gras season that has gotten kicked off actually as of privately when, Stephen?
Well, Camellia Ball occurs the night before Thanksgiving.
Right. So at that point, it's in gear.
It is no looking back.
Okay. So it's happening there. We talk about 12th night, but we also, you know, you point out in today in the Moon Pie Minute just played Epiphany. And, you know, the reason why, you know, we look up and down the street, you can probably figure out where people go to church by when their Christmas tree hits the street. And, you know, and those people that are, you know, not till the 7th, you know, or late on the 6th, do they see that tree out there? You talk about that history of burning of the greens and all that. Explain that.
Yeah, so this goes back again to really of a medieval period when the concept was you have the 12 days of Christmas, which we're all familiar with that song, but a lot of people don't understand that's not 12 days leading up to the 25th. Christmas begins on the 25th.
And I think if we went out and did a like a man on the street thing where you just, I think most people would think it would be the 12 leading in.
No doubt about it. But then you ask people that, and you say, do you ever sing We Three Kings on a certain Sunday? They say, oh, sure. It's typically about a week or so after Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes, that is Epiphany Sunday. And so that's the whole concept of you have the 12 days leading to the wise men coming.
And then, and that was, you know, people thought it all happens at the same deal, but Jesus is born. And then, because they had some distance to come.
As the story goes, they had great distance.
Yeah. So they get there. So the burning of the grain, too, goes into this effect. Like, I'm looking at this plush here. This, by the way, if you're looking on Facebook, look at this thing. How awesome. That if you're celebrating the right way, Mobile Mardi Gras, you don't have green on.
No, and you know, green is really only just, I mean, we say it's a New Orleans color, but really the New Orleans Mardi Gras colors are Rex.
Yeah.
It all started with the Rex organization of having those three colors. And, you know, as opposed to Mobile, where we have MAMGA and then we have MCA, they each have their own monarchs, their own courts. You know, in New Orleans, they don't do any of that. The king of New Orleans Mardi Gras is simply the king of Rex.
Right.
And that, of course, is just one of those traditions they have over there. But you don't have...
But they have green.
They do, and dating back to early accounts in the Mobile Register, it was made clear that the king of Mobile Mardi Gras did not recognize green. We only did purple and gold.
So, yeah, never green is how we roll around here. So,
right.
Yeah.
And,
yes, correct.
And with the burning of the greens, it was bad luck to have the greens in your house or around your house after the 12th night because this was the beginning of the carnival season. So is that why we don't recognize green? Who knows? But it's
good
sounds
story.
Good.
It's right. A good story.
Right.
That's for sure. I mean, conversations, y'all, that are happening during the commercial break between Laura and Reynolds and Stephen are fantastic. Some of these just tidbits of information. And as somebody who's paid attention to this over the years and thought, yeah, I know a good bit, I could hear y'all talk for a couple minutes and realize I don't know half this stuff. I mean, there's like this the nuances for different crews, different organizations, why they're there.
And you learn a little more every year, and things change slightly every year. It's like a barge moving where you don't notice it, mm-hmm. you know, until you kind of look back on how these parades and themes and balls have kind of evolved over time. And different organizations come and go. You know, not everybody we see today has always been on the streets. And especially with a lot of the walking crews, you know, you'll see them active for a while, and then maybe they'll drop off. But, you know, it's a moving target, and that makes it even even more fun every year.
You're talking about walking crews, and there's floats on that day as well. I talk about this over the years when we all have this. I think you and I have talked about it a good bit. I know Reynolds and I and Laura and I have, when we'd be at college, bringing friends home for Mardi Gras.
Oh, every year.
Yeah, everybody
every
wanted to come home. But, you know, if I couldn't, because we had classes and all that going on, I couldn't always do it on Fat Tuesday, but we sure as heck did it on the Sunday preceding. We come back, we want to talk about Joe Kane Day some here on Midday Mobile. Be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And we've been talking work trucks a good bit. You got a serious work truck on the lot now. What is it?
I do. This is a pretty neat little deal. I'm going to use it this weekend. I hope it's a 2005 Isuzu MPR, which is the little small cab over trucks you see riding around with box trucks on the back of them.
Right.
This one's got a dump body on the back of it, so it's a dump truck, and it everything works. It's it's a work truck, but it's as nice as it can be for a work truck, and everything works. So it's there for somebody if they're looking for something like that.
You know what? I think there's a lot of people looking for something like that. So let's talk about a vehicle like that. Probably won't last long. People need to come out and check it out. So give us directions to come see it, or is it going to be online?
It will be online this afternoon. And this is great for landscape company, contractors, whoever. You can come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. We're 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. We'll try to have pictures of it up on there this afternoon. Or give us a call or just stop by. Call us at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And yeah, the smell of king cake permeating the air here in the FM Talk 106.5 studio, and that is a great thing as we're talking about the Moon Pie Minute and the kickoff of the Mardi Gras season. Public parading starting tomorrow on Dolphin Island. Laura Ratledge, Reynolds Brabner, and Stephen McNair in studio, plus Marianne Brabner. It's great to have y'all in here again. And you were talking on this green thing, and I'm looking, people are asking about the green. Y'all stop eating for a second here. Let's do some break. Jiminy's sake, let's do some break. The green thing, so RSA, this is an interesting story here.
Yeah, so about
a tower.
I think it was just last year. Everybody knows the lights change on the buildings downtown that are owned by the RSA, and that's great. You know, there's orange for the Senior Bowl and red for Valentine's Day and things like that. Well, during Mardi Gras, very prominent green was up there, and so we made a phone call to Visit Mobile.
Were you like driving down the road and went, whoa?
It was a gasp. So we called David Clark, who runs Visit Mobile, great gentleman, does a great job, and brought it to his attention. And he said, well, you know what? I've never really thought about that, but let me give you the name and number of somebody at RSA. And about one day later, they clicked a button, and we no longer have green on the buildings.
So they had like a thing in there that big lights in there with cover?
You got me.
How those things work. all right. As we mentioned going into the break, all of us have similar stories of bringing friends home for Mardi Gras.
Oh, yes.
Right? This popular thing. People start, hey, I'm coming. So if we had class or something, if I couldn't be here Fat Tuesday.
You didn't try hard enough.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm barely tolerant of this man. But they'd come for Joe Kane Day.
Absolutely.
And Joe Kane Day really got to be one of my favorites. And I think it's, for a lot of us, it's only second to Fat Tuesday.
Oh, I think for a lot
some
of
people
folks,
might be number one. But
I was going to say, the crowds really come in for that. And You know, that's one of those things that started with Judy Rayford, who was a writer and artist and painter and all-around Renaissance man back in 1966, 67, 68. It really took off. It started as a jazz funeral when they moved Joe Kane and his wife's bodies from Bayou La Batterie and then reinterred them in Church Street Graveyard.
Right. So they weren't. And that's what, you know, people often be like, no, they've been here for. I said, no. They haven't been here forever.
That's right. And Judy Rayford, when he passed, was buried right next to him. So this really started as a great jazz funeral with the Excelsior Band leading the way, and then it grew, and then finally the city said, this is too big, we need permits and regulations and all those kind of things, and now it's the biggest day of the year.
Yeah, it's to think about it, because I wasn't around, but I was not around before there was a Joe Kane Day, so my whole childhood, it was Joe Kane Day, you know, it happened. But what did we do on Sunday before Fat Tuesday? You know, I mean, was there, like...
I think that was the whole point, was that there was really no Carnival Association or MAMGA events occurring right on that date, and so it was just an open date.
And so this, I mean, Judy Rayford's idea is to take this historical thing, this person, and then from that, create a whole day's worth of stuff now.
And he dressed as the first modern version of Joe Kane.
Right.
Of course, Wayne Dean has held that torch since the 1980s in Mobile, and he does a phenomenal job. But Judy was the first one to dress as the Chickasaw Chief and, you know, get on the coal
Never
wagon.
Defeated. Chickasaw Chief, never defeated.
Right.
And so that, I mean, so the, I mean, this, there's a story. I mean, he picked up this historical thing, back to the story versus the history. He picked up the historical thing, and then Judy Rayford created the story of it that we enjoy today.
That's and from that, of course, came the Merry Widows.
Yeah.
They started in the early 1970s, and that has grown to, you know, its own mythology, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about the best-kept secret in all of Carnival on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, who's... I don't know.
I mean, you can find out.
And I'm not even sandbagging here. I don't know.
No, I mean, you can find out sometimes who Folly is or who different people are, or maybe who's playing Columbus, you know, through Columbus. But good luck finding out who is behind the veils of the Merry Widows.
I think about it, and I've never known.
Right.
And nobody's ever even whispered to me. You're like, hey, it'd be cool, but it's so-and-so. I don't know. That is cool. As we look at Joe Kane Day, too, and I know you feature this in Moon Pie Minutes to Come about the growth. We talked about the growth overall. Laura and I were talking about the beginning in Mardi Gras since the last couple of years. But overall, Joe Kane Day and marching societies, that's, I mean, every year I turn around, there's a new marching society.
Yeah, we've come a long way. I mean, think about back to the 90s. It was a lot of people in kind of ragtag costumes, mm-hmm. and you had the Lost Cause minstrels, and you did have some that were recognizable. But now, I mean, the Pelican Girls is one of the newest ones, and the effort they put into their you know, period dresses, and then, of course,
straight out of 1703, baby.
I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. And you have the Nevergreens, which is one of the newer ones, where they wear gold sequin jackets, and they pass out citations to anybody watching wearing green. And, of course, the Wild Mobilians, the effort they put into their, you know, homage to the Mobila Indians. And I mean, it's just incredible.
It's taken it, and there's still, of course, you know, there's floats and all that stuff going on, but the marching societies have, it seems to me, where the individual growth. Now, maybe the floats have grown in number. I don't know. I haven't kept track of that. It's been more and more. I don't know. But I know that watching the individual groups that are marching on Joe Kane Day, it is like every year.
You have pirates.
There.
You have skeleton crews.
Squirrels?
The Arts Council has they do the squirrels.
Yes.
Which I think started maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So the more the better. It just adds to the season, gets more people involved, which is always a good thing.
It is a good thing. Laura, are you a fan of the squirrels?
I think so.
I mean, it's and that process, too. You know, I wonder if there's ever a limit to that, right? We talk about these, but I mean, new people. I mean, there's some things in our Mardi Gras celebration that do have a hill to climb to get into to start your own parade and, you know, get floats and get the group together and get the money. But people would have marched. Cost effective.
That's the entire concept that Judy Rayford came up with, was if you don't have the means or the interest or whatever to join one of these organizations, which, you know, what a lot of folks from out of town don't understand is this is not a sponsored event. This is, you know, floats are not sponsored by Budweiser and,
right.
Or whatever. the money contributed to these organizations for the costumes, the throws, the floats, the insurance, the din, all that goes into this comes out of the pockets of the riders and the pockets of the members. Mm-hmm. And that's really what makes it so special. It's almost like the way that the Green Bay Packers are kind of owned by the fans,
mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
everybody right. has skin in the game. If you're throwing beads or watching beads come at you, you know, you're probably contributing to this in some way.
Well, not to take this all political, but in conversations we've had, and I'm not saying which plan, you know, I'm for or not for with the Civic Center, but this question that people say, well, you know, it's just they got to keep it there for the Mardi Gras groups to have their balls. But like you said, this economic engine that brings all these people into bars, restaurants, chicken on a stick stands, all the things that happen downtown, you know, from now through Fat Tuesday, is driven by private money. Even though people say, well, the police have to be down there. Yes, but believe me, the revenue that comes in from private groups throwing beads, holding parades, it's a huge economic engine, so to keep it there is super important.
And it's year-round, and that's what a lot of folks don't understand, is that it takes a year to design and build the floats, and then, of course, you have the formal wear sales and rentals, mm-hmm. and you have the meals and, you know, the florist industry, you know, with all of the private parties for members of the court, and then, of course, that involves music, it involves food, event venues to be rented. So much money goes into this year-round that it's really more so. People say, well, the hotels fill up, and that's great. That is great, but that's a fraction of the economic impact that this creates, not only for Mobile, but also Baldwin County and everywhere on the entire Gulf Coast.
Sure, and yeah, the growth in Baldwin County has been something as well. I mean, they always had new stuff over there.
They seem to be. We're
going to be nice. You and I, Mobile guys, let's be nice.
For all
the Mobilians, we'll be nice.
They're,
we love you, Baldwin County.
They're trying very hard, and I applaud that. The Fairhope parades, of course, are great, and those have been established for quite some time, but you see more in Daphne, Orange Beach. And so it's growing. And again, the growth is good. It just means more people are celebrating the holiday. More people are understanding the traditions of where we came from and why we do what we do.
And it's why we do what we do has a long story going back to 1703. And that story told by the Moon Pie Minute that started by our friend, their dad, husband, Rennie Brabner. All those years ago, he had that idea, and he came to me and said, well, you know what we ought to do? And usually when Rennie said something, I'd pay attention, and I did. And then it continues today. Laura, Reynolds, Marianne, Stephen, thank you for being here. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing King Cake, too, because that looks fantastic. And we'll see you on the parade route. And I'll be, you know, Marianne, I'll show up at your house down there because you got the spot for sure. Moon Pie Minute, of course, now every day. We do it every day, even like tomorrow and Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, whenever. It's every day from now through Ash Wednesday. And if you don't catch them, well, you can go back and you can even binge listen to them when we put them up as a podcast through our website over at fmtalk1065.com. You can check them out there as well. And a reminder, too, that we will be out and about. I know we've got some parades. We're at least one parade we're involved with, maybe more. So you see the FM Talk 1065 van riding through. If the person really can't throw the beads, that's Dalton, and that's not me. So remember that. Keep that close to the vest. All right. We'll coming right back to wrap it up here on a Friday for Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 1065 and Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Good to see you.
Thanks, Sean. Good to be here, bud.
All right. It's the holiday season. So first, you and I have had this conversation, I think, every year. And the behavior, maybe it's changing. So I don't know that. Every holiday, more wrecks, more, you know, more problems out there on the road. Why? I mean, you study this stuff as an attorney. Why?
You know, I don't know why. I mean, I understand
the stats show it. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you know, so I'm like Uber's best customer. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. And I tell my, you know, kids that are off to college and stuff, I mean, you can burn that Uber up. But why you make a choice, when you're intoxicated to get behind a wheel and risk your life and worse somebody else's life, yeah. I don't get it.
But you and I have talked about this before. We can go into the drunk driving part of it. Okay, I think people get that that's bad. People still do it. That's what you're questioning, and I'm with you. But on top of that, these stats from the holidays, they're not all drinking. Sometimes they're not drunk, right? I mean, they're speeding, distracted. I don't know, trying to get over the hills and through the woods to grandma's house. I don't know what's going on, but they're not all DUI.
Right. Well, my first advice is don't drive during the holidays. Okay.
Well, thanks. Okay, I appreciate that. I'll call home with that one. Thanks,
Ed. If you have to drive, right, and I've talked about this before. So if you have to drive, just have a mindset, a mindset that this is going to be stressful. You don't have Marine training like me.
I do not.
If I'm going, through the streets of downtown Baghdad, I'm like, this is probably going to be tough for about this next 2 miles.
Right.
It's like airport. It is like Airport Boulevard, right? Fallujah and Airport Boulevard, they're very similar. I know we're joking around, but I mean, it's true. You just have to calm yourself. And slow down. Don't be in a hurry because it's not going to matter. The only thing that you're going to do is hurt yourself or somebody else.
Yeah, and the don't be in a hurry thing is something that is a mantra we need to repeat because all the pressures out there are telling you to be in a hurry. But even if you get it under control and you aren't in a hurry, the other cars out there may not be, reciting that same mantra.
No,
they're going to be the 84th car through the red light. They're going to be speeding up to the, to the four-way.
And when that happens, keep your cool and try to avoid the wreck, but people are going to be like that. And so don't let that affect your behavior.
Okay. Also, you talked about this with speeding before, right? That in reaction time and all that, the dangerous speeding. I think, and we qualify, hey, I'm guilty. We qualify those differently because people say drinking and driving, nobody says that's okay. Nobody says, just a little bit of that's cool. Nobody says that. But a little bit of speeding, and I mean, it's a, right? They seem to have different qualifications, but you said they could be just as deadly.
It can be, well, it's just an accepted wrong to do, to
right.
speed.
It's not verboten. Like DUI, there's nobody out there going, it's okay, a little bit of it.
Right. I mean, like if, we both have teenage kids and stuff, people talk about, oh, this kid's bad, that kid's bad. They don't necessarily say, oh, ooh, that kid's a speeder.
You don't hear that. You don't hear that.
Right. You don't ever hear that. So, but how dangerous is that? I mean, it's the number one reason why people are killed in wrecks is speed. I mean, it's
number one.
I believe it's number one. It's either one or two. NHTSA has all these stats. You can National Highway Safety Transportation. You can look it up online. But what speeding does is take a minor wreck and make it something that's potentially devastating.
Yeah, because you were talking to me the other day. We were talking about something completely different. But we're talking about the law, like we always do with you. But in a situation where the speeding was the reason the tragic accident happened, because of not having that time to brake. If the, in estimation here, if they had been traveling the posted speed limit, the wreck wouldn't have happened or would have been minor.
Right.
So it went other way though, unfortunately.
So when you're looking at an object and you the way you tell it's speeding is whether it's going left or right from you, and you as you grow older, you judge that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when an object is coming right at you, literally, you can't tell how fast it's going. So if you're looking at a car or a line of cars, you're trying to pull out into traffic and mm-hmm. you're waiting in traffic engineering with those lights, it's designed to make gaps. Okay. So when you got somebody that busts those gaps by hitting the accelerator and then the person cannot tell how far that person away is. And then, you've had it happen to you. You pull out and you're like, oh, golly.
Yeah.
You don't
say
the word golly.
Yeah.
You say
something else. Yeah.
Right. And then you have to, either slam on brakes or hit the accelerator because
the head on situation like that, I can't see the, I didn't think about that versus left to right, right to left.
Yeah. You can't see their speed. You can't tell they're speeding until they're right up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it's so dangerous, because you can't judge speed when you're coming right at somebody, and they can pull out in front of you. So, I mean, neighborhood speeding is the thing that just kills me. I mean, as a parent, I think I've thrown a few tennis balls at some folks that speed in the neighborhood. But you won't talk about, Russian roulette. I mean, go speed in, some of the neighborhoods like you and I have lived in, raising our kids. I mean, don't tolerate that. And I think we should tell your viewers to throw tennis balls at them. I mean, it's not going to hurt the car, right? I mean, do it.
Well, it's one of those things, too, that even, like, you could say, okay, well, don't drive distracted at any point, but through a neighborhood, because a kid could run out. But you're saying, even if you see that kid run out and you're speeding, you can't react.
No chance. Right. I mean, very right. It's just reaction time, So you've got, you learn it from all these accident reconstructionists. You've got a certain amount of time from your foot to hit the brake, and then from your brake to engage. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have a second to 2 seconds before you can really start braking under any circumstance.
Don't speed. Don't be distracted. And Ed did tell us, just don't drive during the holidays. But for the rest of us that do. Take these things into account. You're right, and calm down and take it.
You won't see me on airport during the holiday, Sean.
All right, we will see you if people need you at Taylor Martino Rowan. As always, good to see you.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services above. Miss a show.